This podcast is brought to you by the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania. Well, a couple of years ago, I had the opportunity on this show to do a very interesting interview, basically at the outset of the war going on in Ukraine. I had the chance to speak with Sofia Opatska, who is with Ukrainian Catholic University. And we talked at that point about what it was like still running a business school while having to deal with a war. Well, it's great to say that Sofia is with us here in Philadelphia today and in our studios here at the Wharton School. We talked on Zoom the last time. It's great to meet you in person. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
So you were in Denmark, I think it was, when we talked a couple of years ago. You told me before we went on the air here that you are back in Ukraine with your family, correct?
Yes, I was for half a year. I was in Denmark with my children. And since September, October of 2022, we are back to Ukraine and we are happy being home.
And your husband, you told me, is part of the fighting. He's fighting for Ukraine right now.
Yeah, so he is part of Ukrainian armed forces. He's still going through the training process right now. But the decision is there.
What's it like now for the business school? You were telling me it's basically back running, students on campus. People are, you know, visitors are coming to the university. So it's almost, it seems like it feels like it, at times it's running like normal.
Yeah, well, if you come to our campus, you wouldn't actually see the difference with normal life in a way, because students are on campus. We have people coming from different cities to study in the modular format. There is just a difference that we have a bit more of sandbags near windows, and sometimes you would hear air raid sound and people will have to go downstairs to the shelter. But everybody actually, you know, we learn so much how to operate in these conditions that for me as a faculty member, it does not actually matter if I teach in the classroom or in the corner in the shelter, because obviously there is not enough space for every class to have a separate room in the shelter. So Everybody would take different corners, and then we would have people from the park or neighborhood coming and joining the class. So I can teach in the class, I can teach in the shelter, I can teach with a presentation, I can teach without presentation, I can teach without light, actually, which we experienced a lot last year. I think we adjusted a lot. We learned a lot how to do it. Sometimes it can be annoying and tiring, but in a way it does not influence how we still see the future of the country and how we are getting ready for what will happen after victory.
And that's the amazing thing, is that the mindset of yourself and so many people in Ukraine is, what happens after victory? There's not even a consideration of loss here.
No, I mean, it's difficult. And you know that the situation at the front line is very complicating right now. And for us, it's very, it's not just the border of the, or it's not the line which is on the map. It's real people. And it's very personal for every human being in Ukraine, because everybody knows someone there.
Right.
But at the same time, for us, it's not the question, because in last 2 years, we saw so much pain. Yeah. And we know that this pain, it requires justice. So I would say that this pain also, it develops in us resilience. It develops in us anger sometimes, but it develops in us a lot of hope, because we know that if people were ready to sacrifice the most they have in this life, actually their lives, we should be very hopeful.
What's the state of business in Ukraine? Because I think the expectation is that when you're in a conflict like this, a war like this, that there's been so much damage that it's very hard to get businesses back up and running. You were saying beforehand that there are instances where businesses are doing even better than before the war started.
Yeah, so obviously there was a huge shock for everyone, including businesses and organizations. But again, everyone adapted, and there are companies which relocated, and they are now, for example, there is a company which was just operating in Kharkiv. Now they are operating in 4 or 5 cities.
Right.
Some companies, they followed the employees. I know one company which they are selling bad products. So they closed a lot of stores in east of Ukraine, but they opened a lot of stores in west of Ukraine,
right,
where the employees migrated. Many companies are investing, they are rebuilding factories. Of course, it's very difficult. Those decisions are very difficult because if your factory has a lot of glass and you have to put a lot of glass, which can be destroyed, which costs millions and can be destroyed the next day,
yeah,
that's a big decision. But still, companies are looking for a lot of opportunities. A lot of companies started to go internationally to export because, again, Ukrainian market, of course, shrinked a bit. But in a way, it made Ukrainian companies to look for new opportunities. There are two challenges, I would say. One is the manpower, because a lot of people left to the armed forces, and every company has between 10 to 20% people who are now cannot be working,
right,
and it's very difficult to replace those people because obviously those were good people.
Yeah.
Second challenge for Ukrainian business is to explain to the whole world, and I would like to make this point very, very clear and very important, that we as a country, we need a lot of help, and we are asking for that help all the time. But as a business, we are a reliable partner. We are still operating. Bank system is working. I was telling you that even when I'm in the shelter, as long as I have an internet,
yeah,
I can do any transactions. So banks are working well. The logistics are working. It's hard, but it's working. Railroad is working. So for us, just coming back to the most important point, Ukrainian business is very reliable partner. And it's very important to differentiate the need for the country and not thinking that you can do business with Ukrainian business companies.
Sure, yeah. Well, I guess it really does highlight what you said about having internet access in this day and age. As long as you have that, you can still do so many things. I think you were also telling me beforehand about kind of understanding when potentially some of the attacks might be coming because of messaging and posts that would be on social media.
Yeah, right now social media plays, of course, it plays two roles. You know, our enemy can be using social media for a lot of information, engagements which are not favoring Ukraine. You know,
right,
they can destabilize situation in many countries, and
right,
they are doing that, and we are observing that. And I think they're also doing that in the United States also.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, we Ukrainians, we use social media very much to follow what's going on, especially to follow whenever there is an attack. And usually those attacks, they are said that they are for critical infrastructure, for military, but they are very often for civilians.
Yeah.
They are very often for schools, medical institutions. So we can follow actually what happens, why the air raid is going on, what's the reason, because there are, sorry for going into details, but there are rockets which can fly to my city in 5 minutes,
yeah,
or to Kyiv in 3 minutes. And this is when you have to be very quick, but sometimes it takes number of, it can take hours.
Yeah.
And it also gives you the clear signal when you have to be the most attentive, how
sure
you have to behave. And you have to follow those procedures because a lot of civilians are suffering and the rocket can come to your house anytime.
If I remember correctly, when I talked with you, or I may have seen it in other reporting as well, there are parts of Ukraine that had really become tech entrepreneurial areas. What's the state of the growth of tech in Ukraine in the last few years as well?
So IT industry was always very strong. We always had a lot of very smart people who can work in IT industry and actually provide very good services. It was, I think it was number three in the country in the generating GDP.
Yeah.
Right now, the role of IT industry even bigger, even higher, because obviously we have a lot of challenges with agriculture.
Yeah.
And IT industry, that's an industry which you can export without trucks. You don't have to cross the border.
Sure. Yeah.
So frictions which are happening in neighboring countries, they do not influence IT industry. What changed? Well, first of all, we have a lot of now demand of IT in the military. And I think Ukraine is innovating a lot in that. And we will be a country where a lot of military innovations will be taken from us in a
sure.
way. What changed for IT companies since a lot of people immigrated because of the beginning of war, a lot of IT companies which thought about becoming global, suddenly they became global immediately in 2-3 weeks because right. their employees can sometimes be in 80 countries.
Right.
So now they have to deal with 80 taxation systems and other things, but a lot of them, they're using it in a very good way. So whenever they have a team which is based in some city in Germany or moved to Australia or moved to somewhere else, they're making their small offices. So
yeah.
they're still keeping employees who are abroad, but they are working for Ukrainian companies.
Yeah.
And they can actually, again, they can deliver much better to clients. It also makes clients more, feel safer. That
sure.
And so I think there is a huge boom of IT industry. And we also see a lot of positive changes in digitalization of the state as overall.
For the government?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of services and tools now for people. For example, if something happened to my house due to attack, I can report it. I can apply through services for some reimbursements. Of course, the system is not ideal because
yeah.
Because the damages and everything are so huge, so system cannot process all of that immediately. But for example, I don't need a lot of documents. All of my documents are in my smartphone,
yeah.
and I don't have to carry them anymore.
Yeah. Sophia, it's great to see you. I'm glad to hear that you and your family are doing well. Great to have you here in Philadelphia for a little while. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
You got it. Sophia Opatka of Ukrainian Catholic University. To explore more content from the Wharton School, visit knowledge.wharton.upenn.edu.